Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday, March 17th, 2024. It's actually what people call St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And you can find us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA, right here on New Visions Radio. Last week, I think a lot of people might have missed our program because the clock changed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I still haven't adjusted. I'm still adjusting. How about you, Ed?
I hate when the time changes.
I do
too. It takes me 2 weeks.
You know, I was telling my wife just the other day, for some reason, when the time changes, when we spring forward, it just seems like my days go by so quick. It seems like everything is accelerated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just in my mind, but I just
maybe
can't seem to...
Your body clock needs time to adjust.
Yeah, maybe so. But first of all, you know, we're grateful you all are here and with us each Sunday evening, and we're thankful to Ray Powers for putting us on the air here for all of these years.
And putting up with us.
And putting up with us, yeah. Because sometimes I'll send him a text and I'll say, hey, I need you to put a program on because we're not in the studio this week.
Yeah.
And he does it, even if it's the last minute, he jumps right on that. And we're grateful to him and to New Visions Radio for doing that. So just a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. We try to tell you that each week because we have new listeners each week.
Right. We're a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. And if you want to come to the Valley, this is the time of year to come, the next few weeks when spring is hitting, everything starts blooming, the dogwoods and everything. And it's just beautiful.
It really is.
Red buds. They're purple, but they call them red buds.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But we have a little ministry, a little church here. We have services on Wednesday evening for a Bible study / prayer time. And that's available via Zoom if you're interested. Or come by and join us at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We have church services on Saturday or the Sabbath, which begins at 9:30 with a Bible study, and then our worship hour at 11. Again, that Bible study time is available via Zoom or live stream, and the church service is via live stream as well. Mm-hmm. And just recently, Rick and Mary started a Monday evening program, which is kind of a prayer share time, and it's every other Monday.
Yes, and Rick is, you probably haven't, if you've listened to this program for a long time, you've heard Rick on the air.
Right.
And he and I started doing this program years ago, and because of scheduling, he couldn't be here as often. So Ed is our Sabbath school teacher, and Ed has been a speaker for Prophecies of Hope. But now he has a gift for teaching, as most of you who have been here, you can see that.
I thought you were going to tell him I have a face for radio.
He has that too. I think you told me that first. But yeah, it's, you know, it's really a blessing to be able to, that God has given gifts to each individual. You know,
right.
Each of us have places where we excel.
And we're just a small little ministry here.
Yeah.
We have more of an online presence than anything.
That's true.
But God has provided enough people to do whatever needs to be done.
It's really been amazing because, you know, that He's provided us with everything that we need and more, and even made it to where, you know, we're able to do things within the community and help a little shelter down the road here. And, you know, we've worked together with them in trying to help people find placement for a couple of days or maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And they also help people find jobs. They try to get them in job placement.
Right.
So, you know, these things are so important. It's all part of what Jesus did. You know, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he met the people's need and he would heal them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of that healing is feeding people. Because we in this world, you know, we have to eat,
right.
You know, and we have to have food and shelter and clothing and things like that. So Jesus always met the need of the person, because if a person's hurting, if I'm in pain, I can't really hear what you're saying.
Right.
I don't pay attention to it. I'm thinking about my toothache or whatever it is. So Jesus would meet the need, and then he'd minister to them. And meeting that need is ministering.
Right.
It really is. So, you know, if you're ever in the area, we would love to see you, as Ed said. And is that all of the business that we have? You know, we always try to do a little introduction.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
All right.
So we're going to start a Bible study here. Ed, would you pray for us before we start?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're again thankful to be able to come together and to open your word, the Bible, and to learn more about you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and the plan of salvation. Father, in this world that we live in, it seems like the world is getting crazier and crazier. Mm-hmm. And Father, your word tells us about prophecy in the Bible, that things are yet to come, and that's what we've been studying. Father, as we study these things today, we ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, in the past weeks, you know, the last couple of weeks, we shared our personal testimonies, a little bit of them.
Right.
And we had talked prior to that about Babylon and coming out of Babylon.
Right.
And the reason we shared our testimony is because I believed I had the truth.
Right.
You believed you had the truth.
Right.
And through studying the Bible, we found out that neither one of us had the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We were kind of trapped in well, let's be honest, false religion.
Yeah, false doctrine.
A false doctrine.
Yeah, and you know, we had studied Revelation 18. Let me just read the first four verses of
sure.
Revelation 18. And this is the modern King James Version. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and it has become the dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a cage of every unclean bird, which has been hated because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk. And the kings of the earth had committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. Mm. And of course, the wine of Babylon is her false doctrines
right.
that are false about who God is, that give a false idea of what it is to be a Christian, to
right.
follow Christ. And we've talked about some of those doctrines in the
sure,
past.
We have.
You know, this morning I was actually reading in 2 Corinthians 6:14, this call to come out of her, my people, is not a new call, I discovered.
Wow.
So this morning I was reading in 2 Corinthians 6, and I just want to read verses 14 through 18.
Okay.
And again, this is the modern King James Version. This is Paul speaking. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what partnership does light have with darkness? And what agreement does Christ have with Baal? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement does a temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, I got thinking about this. You know, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
What fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? Just because a church claims to be Christian
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean they're teaching righteous doctrine.
Very true.
Or righteous things.
That's very true.
And so I think this is not only covering non-believers in terms of the Bible and God
right.
and the Son, Jesus Christ, but the false things about what people teach about God and His Son.
Very
and the
true.
Bible.
You know, a lot of people apply the scripture here that you read in verse 14 to being married, being unequally yoked in marriage, which is true.
Yeah.
But this is also talking about in doctrine.
Yes.
In other words, if, you know, in my testimony last week, I shared that I went to a church knowing that they were teaching a false doctrine, but God allowed me to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I stayed as long as I could tolerate it. And then it just got to the point to where it just, I felt like, God was saying, you need to come out.
Yeah.
You need to get out of here. And that's what this text is telling us. You know, I wanted fellowship with people, and they were lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctrine, there was one doctrine in particular that they believed that was not of God.
Right.
It was preaching a false form of God.
Right.
So it's so important that we listen to this call, that we come out. You know, that's actually a quote, Ed, when it says, come out from among them and be separate. That's a quote from Isaiah.
Yes.
So this is a very old
statement.
This goes back thousands of years.
Right. It's nothing new. And why this is because people that have a false view of who God is and false view of God's word, their views can rub off on you. They can influence you.
They do rub off
on you. And that's what was the downfall of the nation of Israel most of the time in their history, because they would intermarry with other nations, and even King Solomon took on the idols and the gods of his wives.
Sure. It's very true. And that the first problem was he had more than one wife.
Yeah, I don't know how many he had, but he had 800 concubines.
Right. Yeah, and so it's really again, you know, God allowed those things to happen. He permitted them, but he didn't condone them.
Right.
And so God will allow you, if you want to join yourself to a false doctrine or you want to do that, he will allow you to do it. But he's calling you to make the right choice.
To come out of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when I look at this, you know, we were talking about this text here right before we came on the air. And it's interesting that there's a gentleman that he's just a Christian man. I mean, he wants to do the will of God. And he has just recently, within the last couple of years, or maybe even more recent than that, recognized that some of the things that he's learned all of his life weren't right.
Right.
And this, he's older than you and I.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how old or young you are. God wants you to come out from false belief.
And sometimes it's a slow process sometimes.
Yes.
This gentleman you're talking about was very sure he knew what the Bible said and knew what was truth.
Right.
And yet, the more he heard the Word of God over and over again, he started to search for himself.
He did.
And when the problem, like most of us have, he only took a verse or two out of a piece of Scripture.
I'm guilty of that.
And he thought it said one thing. And when I actually read the whole chapter with him, I didn't have to tell him. He figured it out himself.
Can we look at that text?
Sure.
Is this a good time to do that?
Sure. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
So that everybody knows, we've talked about this many times, and we will continue to talk about
it.
And you know, it goes along with what happens when we die. What does the Bible say? And there are verses that we read, like if we read this out of context, mm-hmm. which you're about to share with us, Ed, if we read it out of context, there are verses that seem to contradict what the Bible absolutely teaches. And so you'll get this, and many of you have probably been taught the same thing that this brother that we know has been taught.
Yeah, he would repeat a few phrases out of this chapter, claiming that it meant something that it didn't.
So let's look at that.
Yes. Can you read the first three verses?
This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked."
So what is my Bible says, uses the word house of this tabernacle, uses tent.
Yes.
And it talks about a building. What is this referring to?
Well, you know, when I look at this, we are like a dwelling place of the Spirit of God,
right?
We are a tabernacle.
Our bodies.
Our bodies, right.
We just read that in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay. So this is talking about the person.
Right. And he's saying, you know, I have a building from God, verse 1, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our dwelling place out of heaven. And if indeed being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So he's talking about the body that God has given us. And if you read the chapter before, 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
We can do that. If
he talks about his body's kind of beat up from his experience, you know, being stoned.
Yeah, Paul went through a
beaten,
lot of persecution.
You know, shipwrecked, you know, all these things.
Right.
You know, his body has experienced the results of that.
And our understanding is when Christ comes, we get a glorified body.
Right.
Right? And I think every Christian probably agrees with that, that we will be glorified in some form.
Right. And so he's talking about our body as clothing.
Okay.
And that he desires to be clothed and not to be found naked. Let's continue on. Can you read verses 4 through 8?
Sure. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 4. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
So here he's saying, you know, that in verse 4, they don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that this mortal might be swallowed up by the life. He's saying, you know, I have this earthly body, this mortal body, and he wants to have the immortal body or that glorified body. And he knows that that will only occur when Christ comes again and when we're with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying in verse 6, then being always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, talking about this earth, we are away from home from the Lord. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are confident and we are pleased rather to go away from home out of the body and to come home to the Lord. You know, he's still talking about the life on this earth, wanting to have a different body, the heavenly body, and come to home to the Lord. So it's not talking about this idea that when you die, your body goes in the grave and your spirit goes into heaven, like you're conscious, you're still conscious, you're still aware.
Right.
That Bible doesn't teach that. He's just simply saying, I know that if I'm home in this earthly body, I'm not with the Lord. I'd rather be the Lord and not have this body, but this glorified heavenly body is what he's talking about. Mm.
Okay. So that brother, when he read this text, what were his thoughts at that point once he saw this?
He understood that Paul was talking about having a heavenly body. He used the term a glorified
body. Yeah.
He saw that. I didn't even have to say anything. He saw that just with the words on the page.
Yeah. It helps to know, you know, these things that we know, like what happens when we die.
Yeah.
Our body returns to the dust, right? Our spirit goes back to God who gave it.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's conscious. It's just, it's the thoughts.
The gift of life.
The gift of life. Yeah. It's the breath from God.
Yeah.
So are we going to continue in this?
Sure. Go ahead and keep reading.
Let's see. How about 9 through 11?
Sure.
It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences.
So here he's saying, I still have a work to do here on this earth.
Mm.
You know, whether at home or away from home, you know, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive the things done through the body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. So he's trying to, his ministry is about reconciliation to God.
Mm.
And part of that reconciliation is what we would call sanctification through Christ living in us, a change in our hearts and our minds. There's a modern-day song I talk about frequently by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's either called The Change or just simply Change. It talks about Christianity saying, like, I have this bracelet on my hand that has what would Jesus do? I have this necklace around my neck with a cross on it. I have a Bible with my name on it. I have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus.
Right.
He's saying, well, that's all good, but what about the change?
Right.
What about the difference that Christ makes in your life?
It's so true. You know, those things are outward things.
Right.
But do people see that change in you when they see you?
Right.
In other words, is that the only way that I point to Christ is by the things that are stuck on my car or the things I wear? Or when they look at me, do they see the character of Christ?
Right.
That's so important. What is it that the brother that you're talking about here, that we're talking about, he has a saying.
Yes, he says, always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words.
So in other words, he's talking about we have been changed,
yeah.
Right? Just by people observing us, they should see the difference. It's how we dress, how we carry ourselves, the language that we use, our body language, how do we treat others.
Right.
Just by watching us, they should say, this isn't a man of the world.
This comes about by knowing God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By having the Spirit of Christ in us to change our characters so that we have the fruit of his Spirit and the Spirit of his Father.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes the change. You know, we can try and maybe succeed for a little while to change who we are, but sooner or later, what's in our hearts is going to come out, given enough pressure.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
What's in there will eventually come out. And, you know, that's happened to me.
Right.
You know, and I realize sometimes that, you know, while I think I might have a great relationship with God, and I hope I do, there are times that something will come out of my mouth, not dirty language, but just maybe something negative or something that is contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
And that's just, you know, I need to get those things out of my heart.
Right. And that's done through a relationship with God and His Son, through studying God's Word, through prayer, lots of prayer.
It's so
true. And, you know, fellowship with each other, encouraging each other in your walk, because everybody faces the insults of Satan. You know,
absolutely. He is roving about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Right,
right. And you know, for a lot of people, that they might think, well, the devil's not real. Let me tell you, the devil is real.
Yes, he is.
He is real, and he is working ever harder. The closer he gets to his demise, the more, it's kind of like that person, you know, if you've ever ran track or field or done anything in school like that, or even as an adult, when you see that finish line, you kind of pick up the pace a little bit.
Mm.
Well, Satan knows that his time is short, so he's ramping things up in this world. You said that in your prayer, how the world's just going out of control.
You know, a few years ago, a certain singer did a Super Bowl halftime show.
Mm.
And I looked online, and there was someone who was analyzing what had happened. And this singer actually put on a satanic church service during the halftime Super Bowl show. You know, most people didn't know it.
Sure.
But in the comments following his, I don't remember if it was a video or if it was just a blog or what it was.
Right.
And people were making comments about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a comment from a worshiper of Lucifer, a worshiper of Satan.
Right.
And this is what he said. You Christians are so dumb, so stupid, you don't even know that Satan's working right underneath your nose
and
in Christianity.
You know, that the truer words, I don't know, have ever been spoken. It's true. And he is. And this is what we're talking about, Ed.
Come out of her, my people.
Come out of her. If you see or hear or you know that your minister or pastor or preacher or we here on this program right. are teaching something that's contrary to the Bible, let it be known. Mm-hmm. Let it be known to the person who's saying it. Do it in a loving way.
Yeah.
But let them know, just take them to the Bible and say, look, you said ABC, but let me show you what the Bible says here.
Right.
And it's so important that we use God's word when chastening or helping somebody, when bringing them about, because our opinions mean nothing.
Right. You know, this 2 Corinthians chapter 5 was just one example of some of the doctrines that the false doctrines that most of the Christianity teaches.
Mm.
You know, today is what, March 17th?
Yeah, today is what many Christians call St. Patrick's Day.
Do you have any information on St. Patrick? Who was that?
This whole thing, this whole premise of St. Patrick is built on a lie.
Yeah.
He was actually a Christian man. His name was Maewyn Sukot, and I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
And he actually wasn't Catholic. You know, the Catholic Church teaches they actually took this man and they made him a what they call a patron saint by giving him the name Saint Patrick. And there, I actually sat in a church one day and listened to them tell a children's story. Where this lady was telling a children's story. She was really she had a good illustration. She was always a good teacher. But I cringed when I saw her hold up a three-leaf clover, and she pointed at each leaf and said that St. Patrick went into places and he would teach the Trinity doctrine to people. And he would use this three-leaf clover to point out Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And go ahead, you were going to say something.
Well, what did he really believe, Mark?
You know, it's interesting. If you just do a little bit of digging, you'll find that this Maewyn Sukot, this person that the Catholic Church made St. Patrick, he did not believe in the Trinity
whatsoever. He wasn't Irish either, was he?
No, he wasn't. It's so amazing when we look into these things. He believed that the dead are really dead, which is not a Catholic doctrine. He kept the seventh-day Sabbath, which is certainly not a Catholic doctrine.
Right.
He knew and understood the biblical diet, and he knew and understood that there was something else. That God has a literal son,
yeah.
Yes. And so...
So he didn't preach the Trinity.
He didn't preach the Trinity. He didn't stand for anything that we see that they claim that he stood for. It doesn't take much to find that. And these are the things, they use someone like this, and they... You know, if he knew what was going on, if he would roll over in his grave, yeah. So to speak, because this is misrepresenting a man of God who was painfully teaching the truth of God's word.
Right.
And so it pains me when people dress up and they put on the green and they do all these things and they, you know, they do these things in the name of what the Catholics would call a patron saint.
Right.
And it's all built on false things. It's all built on lies.
Yeah.
There are so many false stories. And, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, there are people that claim things like, we have been accused of being Arian because we don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity.
Right.
We believe in a Father and a divine Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the truth is, nobody really knows what the Arians believe.
Because Constantine ordered all his doctrines and whoever believed those doctrines to be destroyed.
That's right. So everything that we hear about the Arians, some things may be true, but many of them are rumored.
There's only three known documents that tells about Arius' beliefs.
Okay.
And some of them are just partial
They're not complete, yeah.
And so no one knows for sure what he taught.
Right.
But the claim, I mean, to be called an Arian is an insult. That's what it's used for.
Sure, of course.
Or semi-Arian,
right.
Whatever
you want to say. It's a way to kind of take your credibility when people say that. And that's why name-calling is a terrible thing. Unless we know what someone believes, I want to say this because so many times we'll look at a church,
uh-huh.
and somebody goes to that church. I have a friend that goes to that church. Well, they believe blah, blah, blah. Well, wait a minute. Does the church teach that, or does that person believe it?
Or does the church teach something, and do you know for sure that that person believes that?
That's the thing.
No.
You know, I was part of a church for many years, and as I was studying the beliefs that I thought were truth, I began to realize they're not the truth. But I kept going to that church until I knew for sure I was mm-hmm. making the right decision. So I was guilty by association, and I was unequally yoked, which is what we just
right.
read.
Yeah.
Don't be unequally yoked. So as we find these things out, it might take time. It might take weeks, months, years.
Study to be sure.
In my case, it took a decade. It
yeah.
took 10 years for me to clear out everything and really to feel like I could trust God
mm-hmm.
to get me through what it was. The problem was I had fear of man because I didn't want to disappoint and I didn't want to upset family and friends and the people that I loved.
Right.
And by God's grace and by the power of Christ in me, I was able to overcome that.
Right. Well, you see that even during Jesus' time that people believed in him secretly, even religious leaders, but they were afraid to because they knew they would be thrown out of the church or the synagogue.
That's right. They surely did. Nicodemus was one such that
yeah.
he went and met him at nighttime, didn't he?
Yeah, in secret, yeah.
So I'll never forget when I was, as I was learning some things, I had shared with a local pastor some of the things that I was learning. And as I shared it with him, he said, well, that's what our church teaches. And I thought, wow, there's somebody knows this.
Uh-huh.
So we would actually, at my shop, so that people from my church wouldn't see me, we would go in the back shop where nobody could see, and in secret, we would study together.
Yeah.
So I understand that fear to some degree that Nicodemus must have had
mm-hmm.
because I was actually a leader in the church that I was in.
Right.
So here we would go in the back and we would kind of study, you know, privately so that I wouldn't get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus— I should be able to do this out in the open.
Right.
And fortunately, for now, we live in a country where we're still able to do that.
To a point, but I really believe that the negativity that people apply to people that believe differently than you do
mm-hmm.
has an effect on people around you.
It absolutely does.
Especially if it comes from a leader in the church they attend.
Yes.
Don't have anything to do with them. Don't study with them. And a lot of people listen to that versus just simply seeking to find out what the Word of God says.
Know what you believe. This is so important, to know what you believe. And I don't know if I use this. I said this recently, and I apologize if I'm repeating it on the program here. But my good friend, I'll use his name, he wouldn't mind, his name is Steve, and he and I go back to high school. You know, we've known each other since school. And he came to me one day and he says, we were talking about, he believes that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I love this guy. And he does believe in the one true God. So, you know, we've studied some of these things.
Right.
But what's interesting is, he said to me one day, I asked him, I said, well, tell me, what do you believe about that? How do you come to that conclusion? And he brings me a book and says, here, read this book. And I said, I didn't want to read a book. I'm asking you what you believe. He says, well, I believe what's in this book. And I said, well, if you believe what's in that book and you really believe it, you can tell me what's in
right.
that book. You tell me. I want to know what you believe. And I think he realized at that moment he couldn't tell me what he believed.
Mm-hmm. Because his belief was based on his faith in someone else.
Right. And this is why it's so important that we, Ed, you say it all the time, read the Bible and read the words on the page.
Simply read it to find out what it says. You don't have to read it to prove somebody else wrong, prove yourself right. Just simply find out what it says.
And that's so hard to do. It is so hard to do because I want to be right.
Yeah, of course we all do.
I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
And I love showing people what the Bible says, but we have to do it in context. Just like you took us right here to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5. And when we read through this, we see that this isn't talking about being absent from our body
right.
and being somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's very clear in context.
It's talking about being absent from our earthly body and present with God in our glorified bodies. That's what it's talking about.
Yes. So this is so important that we know and understand this. And then what you shared with me, you know, again, you said you were studying this morning, and I know I've read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 over and over, but I never realized this is a call for us to come out of Babylon.
Right.
And again, I'm going to read it again, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It says in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6:16, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty."
Remember in Exodus, I think it's 25, verse 8, God is speaking to Moses and says, "I want you to make a tabernacle so I can dwell among my people."
Yes.
This is talking about dwelling in his people.
Yes. And how does he dwell in us?
By his Spirit, through Christ Jesus. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, his Son, we don't have any access to the Spirit of God, because Christ is the only way we have access to the Father.
Isn't it amazing how everything comes full circle back to that?
Yeah.
Everything does. And, you know, when we started the study this evening in Revelation chapter 18, a couple of things occurred to me as you were reading through those verses. It talks about in verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her and have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues." And you mentioned how association rubs off on us.
Yes.
We become like those that we hang around. I know people who have understood what the Bible says about certain things, and then through wanting to be accepted, through association, being unequally yoked with others, they have began to compromise their beliefs. The reason why this uses the illustration or the saying, "they have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication," what does wine do to us when we drink wine?
It makes you make poor decisions, not be able to think clearly.
That's it. So if I'm drinking the wine, you know, you've heard the expression, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. This is where I think this is coming from. So if I'm drinking the wine, then I'm going to be confused. My thinking isn't going to be right.
I think the more you hear a false doctrine, the more you are exposed to sin, no matter what it is, the more comfortable you get with it. And the less, my word finding is horrible. You're not...
I don't know what word you're looking for. Susceptible?
Offended by it.
Offended. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Sin's no longer offensive. False doctrine's no longer offensive.
That's true.
And when a church has been preaching false doctrine for years after years, even centuries, it's just, well, that's truth. We've always taught that.
Yeah.
We can't be wrong.
Over time, it's just an erosion process, just like being on the beach.
And actually, the church I grew up in, that erosion is a continual erosion. It doesn't stop and just stay steady. It's a continual erosion.
That's right. It's just, you know, if you take an old jagged rock and you put it in a riverbed, over time, what happens to it?
It's going to get smooth.
It becomes very smooth because it's eroding. And so that's what happens to us. If we become acquainted or we become a part of a fellowship or a church that's teaching a false doctrine, it will have an effect on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew this going into when I joined another church at that one time, when I went in there, but I joined it with them knowing full well, I reject this particular doctrine.
Right.
I don't believe that. And they said, well, that's okay. And that's what caused the trouble in the church.
Yeah, it wasn't okay.
It wasn't okay.
Yeah.
It was to get me in there.
Right.
But then once it came out a couple of years later, oh, wait a minute, he doesn't believe this, it became a big problem.
Right.
And I wouldn't wear down. I just, and you know, it was by the grace of God that he kept me strong. Mm-hmm. And looking back, Ed, looking back at that, I look and I see God used me there.
Right.
That was a stepping stone for me, right. And it was a learning curve for me. I learned a lot of valuable things. I learned wonderful things from the Bible there, mm-hmm. but I also learned how to and how not to deal with certain things. I made a lot of mistakes
right.
when I was trying to stand firm. I was abrasive, and I wish I had done it different.
Right.
But now I know. Now I know.
You know, some people may say, well, my church has been teaching this forever, and I know my pastor would not deceive me. I mean, he's been to seminary school. You know, he's, you know, teaching what the church teaches. I would just encourage you, be a Berean. Search the scriptures for yourself. Determine for yourself what the Bible says, and you can then determine whether a church or a pastor or even you and I are teaching what the Bible says.
Absolutely. You know, back to Revelation 18 for a moment, because we read 1 through 4. Listen to what it says here in verse 5. It says, for her sins have reached, this is talking, when we're talking about Babylon here, her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. You know, God wants to forget our sins.
Yeah.
But these have piled up so high, there's so many that he has to remember it. He can't forget it because they're blatantly doing these things.
And they continue to live that way and teach those things, and there's no repentance.
Absolutely. You know, we can repent at any time before Jesus comes, but we better, please, don't wait till the last minute. Don't put it off.
I was just reading something again. I think it's probably in 2 Corinthians someplace, saying, now is the day of salvation.
Yes. Today is the day.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And then that verse 6, it says, render to her just as she has rendered. This is Revelation 18:6. Render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed with, mix double for her, it says. And the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and will not see sorrow. So there's no repentance.
Right. You know, the warning, and part of the warning in verse 4 is that don't be partakers of her sins or her false doctrine, because if you are, you're going to partake of her plagues, her punishment.
Absolutely. So let's recap this just for a moment. You know, we're speaking of false doctrine. Now, as a ministry here at Prophecies of Hope, there are some things that we believe that are very different than a lot of churches.
Probably 99% of most churches.
I would say, yeah. And one of the things, when I was looking for a church that was teaching Bible truth, there were there were three doctrines in particular that narrowed the field so fast.
Yeah.
One of them was what happens when we die, right. This very thing that we're talking about here. What happens when we die? If I believe that when I'm dead, I know nothing, I just eliminated probably, I would say, 98% of Christian churches,
right.
Done. And even other religious belief structures were done, because almost every religion believes in some kind of a euphoria or an instant gratification or instant resurrection or reincarnation.
Yeah, I guess in general we can call that spiritualism.
It's spiritualism, that's exactly. Yeah. And I didn't realize that probably until, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, when I really started examining the church of my youth, and I looked at some of their doctrines, and I said, well, they believe that the dead are really dead, but they also believe that some instantly go to heaven.
Yeah.
So they have it both ways.
Right.
So they're mixing things. This is dangerous. It's very dangerous. So what happens when we die is one of those doctrines. Another one was, who is God?
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned in my testimony, I had a false understanding. Right. I was partially there,
right.
But not fully, mm-hmm. until we started studying this.
Right.
And once we started studying it, I got it.
You know, what we teach is what we find the Bible to say. We speak and read the words on the page.
Amen.
We're not trying to be different.
Right.
We're not trying to stand out. We're not trying to come up with something new. We're just simply teaching people what we found the Word of God to say.
Absolutely. And another thought is God's Sabbath day,
yeah.
The commandments of God. And there's some others that come up too. And I know a lot of Christians probably believe some of those things.
Right.
You know, I don't know if there's any Christian church, if there might be, but I don't know of any that have all falsehood.
No.
I think, because I don't think they would have followers if they were teaching pure lies. I think that there are a lot of churches and the people in them that have good intentions. They want a relationship with
right.
God. They have a relationship
right.
with God. But what do we do when we find something that goes against what I've always believed? Where does that put me?
Yeah. I mean, you really have to think about, do I really want to do what God tells me to do? Do I really want to know who He is? Do I want to have Him change my life and understand how that occurs through the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you're worshiping another God, how is that going to happen?
That's so true.
If you set yourself up to be deceived by Satan by believing that people don't really die, that they're going to live forever, always, in some form.
Right.
In two or three different places are a possibility, some churches teach.
Right.
Then how are you going to understand the real plan of salvation?
That's
that
right.
There's going to be a day of accountability. Well, either you're going to have eternal life or you're going to have eternal death.
Mm.
You know, you were reading in Revelation 18, verse 7. Can you read that again?
Yes. It says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow.
She's saying, I'm good.
Right.
I'm okay. I'm not going to experience any problems. There's a text in Isaiah 28 that talks about this. And I'm going to read verses 14 down a ways.
Okay. Isaiah, what is that again?
28.
Isaiah chapter 28. Okay.
And again, this is the modern King James.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, scornful men who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and we have made a vision with hell. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and we have hidden ourselves under falsehood. Same thing. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these false doctrines, these false beliefs, they feel that they're good. Verse 16, therefore, so says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I place in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not hurry. Talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the plan of salvation. And I will lay judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away from the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You know, here in Revelation 18, this false doctrine, Babylon's going to experience the plagues
right.
as a result of sin. This is the same thing happening here.
This is why God says, come out of her,
yes.
lest you suffer the plagues, right?
Right. And experience eternal death
Absolutely.
Versus eternal life. Verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be wiped out, and your vision with hell shall not stand. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, then you shall be beaten down by it. This rod is the rod of correction, or the rod of the mm-hmm. wrath of God.
Right.
From the time that it goes out, it shall take you. For morning by morning, it shall pass over by day and by night. It shall be only a terror to understand the message. For the bed is shorter than one can stretch himself on, and the cover is narrower than one can wrap himself in.
Hmm.
This bed that you've made of your own doctrines, these false doctrines, it's not going to be good enough that you can even stretch yourself on.
Right.
The covers of these doctrines are so narrow that you can't wrap yourself and cover your sinfulness.
Right.
This this trust in these false doctrines will destroy you.
Absolutely.
Verse 21, for Jehovah shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, so that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. This is referring to, I believe it was the time of David, a multitude of nations had risen up to invade Israel and destroy them. And God told the king, you know, when you hear the sound of marching in the trees, that's when you attack. The sound of marching in the trees was the army of God, the angels of God, going to do battle for them. And they wiped out these nations.
Right.
Well, God is going to do this very strange work and the same work at the end of time.
Hmm.
God does not desire to destroy anybody. He says, hey, I have no delight in the death of the wicked.
Right.
He desires everyone to come to the knowledge of salvation, to repent and be saved. But it's our choice. He's not going to force anyone.
You know, if God is going to dwell with us, as it says in Revelation,
right.
and I want to continue to live in my sinful ways, I can't be in his presence. And that's why he's saying, look, if we want to be together, you have to give these things up. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what happened? They couldn't have that face to face. They ran and hid because they recognized something was wrong, and they couldn't be in his presence. So this is the beauty of Jesus Christ, that he's bringing the Father to us by his Spirit.
By his righteousness.
By his righteousness.
He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. In fact, where we were in 2 Corinthians, it talks about that. It's in verse 21 of chapter 5. It says, for he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
And through him.
And so, you know, all of these things that we're talking about here is about God wanting to save you, not wanting to destroy you. He wants you to come.
How
to
can
him.
He do that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
Yeah.
How is he going to become sin for us? How are we going to become the righteousness of God in Christ, if we don't believe he's the Son of God?
Sure. You know, it all goes back to what we were talking about, this doctrine of the first lie that Satan told, you will not surely die. And then we have Jesus' words in John 3:16, probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible, that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's a doctrine in itself,
right?
That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
So if I perish, what happens to me?
You go back to nothing.
Yes. So this teaching that something happens to me or I will live forever in hell, these sinners do not get eternal life.
No.
Only righteous ones in Christ Jesus.
The everlasting fire of hell is the fire you can't quench. You're not going to be able to put it out. It's going to do its work. It's going
to do
his work completely and destroy sin and sinners.
Yes.
Malachi 4 talks about the root being destroyed. There will be left no branch or root.
Right.
There's no chance for sin to raise its ugly head again.
Correct. And so if I have a plant and I pull it out by the roots, what happens to it?
It dies.
It dies. It's
it can't
gone.
Grow back.
It can't. And so, you know, I know this doctrine is something that's very near and dear to a lot of people. They want to believe that their relatives are in heaven.
This same brother we were talking about when we went to 2 Corinthians 5 may even still have not a complete understanding of what hellfire and hell.
Right, I don't think that we're in agreement on that, but
right.
I do believe this. So far, this brother has shown such zeal and love for the Word of God that if he keeps studying like he's been doing, he will see it.
Yeah, he kind of already sees it.
I think he does.
It's because he understands what happens when you die now.
Right. I noticed when we were just a couple of Sabbaths ago, we were having a fellowship and we were talking about these things. I could almost see the wheels turning.
Right.
And so, you know, these things, friends, doctrines that we learn, things that we have learned from the time we were kids, it's hard to get rid of.
Right.
It really is. This is normal.
And let's face it, most of us associate our salvation with our church.
We do.
And if our church is wrong, what happens with my salvation then?
Wow.
One thing you need to understand, the only person that can save you is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So be a follower of Jesus, not of a pastor, not of a church, not of a ministry, even our ministry.
That's right.
Be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's
right.
Jesus' words.
Right.
It's not through a church or a denomination or a ministry or a YouTube channel or anybody but Jesus Christ. Friends, remember that. Please remember John 14:6.
Right. Paul talks about having a ministry of reconciliation.
Mm.
We're to point people to Jesus Christ, who provides that reconciliation with God.
Amen. There's no other way.
Right.
No other way to salvation. There's no other name given among men, right?
Yeah, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That's Acts chapter 4.
Verse 12.
Yeah. And so, friends, we are out of time. Boy, yeah. This time just goes by so fast. And, you know, if I didn't keep watching the clock, we would just probably keep going for another hour.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. So, Ed, what a beautiful study this was. 2 Corinthians chapters 5, 6, and 7. So, it's just so much meat there.
Yeah.
And so, let's just have a closing word of prayer, okay? Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to just be able to open your word and see the words on the page and to be able to see the truths of your word. Father, we just ask that people who are listening, that they won't hear the things that we have to say, but that your word, the Bible, will touch their heart, that the Spirit of Christ will come into them and help them to see the truths that are just there. Father, help each and every one of us to just read your word on a daily basis and help us to be willing to conform to your way rather than our selfish ways. We ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. And Father, we're just grateful for every gift you have given us. And we're especially grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you for being here. And friends, we hope to see you next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday evening. That's Eastern Time, USA. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.